Hey, buddy, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by Mr. High Definition, Rich Stambolian.
Oh, for the first time in my life, I'm in high def, baby. Usually when people see me, I'm either in black and white or I'm really blurry.
Dude, it's just Technicolor, dude. We're just doing Technicolor.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Rich upgraded his setup. We worked on this the last couple days. He has a very nice camera. He's connecting to a capture device. And, dude, this looks unbelievable.
It does look pretty cool. Again, I need the keyboard thing so I can watch myself while you talk and then just fawn over my face.
you know what's really funny? Rich is in the other room. That's the part we're not telling you. We just don't want to be in the same room. We've hit that point in our show's relationship that we can't stand each other, and we just do the show in opposite rooms. That's where we're at, right?
You're breaking kayfabe. We've lived together for the last 15 years.
That is the truth. Rich and I have lived together for 15 years. Guys, this show is all about professional wrestling, and it's the last official Matt Men podcast of the year. The last show that I guess we're completely independent starting next Thursday. You could get the show exactly however you've been consuming it all these years via Spotify podcast, Pandora, Google Music, Apple podcasts, anywhere podcasts are available, essentially, and, of course, on YouTube. But on top of that, last week we made the big announcement, and I want to thank all of you guys for such an unbelievable response to this. Matt Men is going to be on the Wrestling Observer website, the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 online website. This is a big moment for the show. Obviously, you know, we're looking to grow it, and we've done some really cool stuff with the community, and I think this is just the next step in the story of this podcast and everything else we're doing. You know, a lot of people, dude, Rich, how unbelievable was the support for this, right? It was unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. Our social media, as soon as we dropped a couple of links, our social media blew up like nobody's business, and people were congratulating us. It was very nice. It was very wonderful and very warm. A lot of nice direct messages, a lot of nice tweets, and people were adding us about it. Only two bozos, but that's okay.
Only two bozos. But I mean, even people within like the industry, like we got a couple DMs from like, so I don't want to say the which companies, but at like the big company, they're like, dude, I'm so happy for you guys.
Yeah,
I'm so happy for you guys. That's awesome, you guys. And you know, we had Josh Alexander on last week, and I kind of feel like the interview got lost in the story of everything that was going on. So I definitely suggest checking that interview. People that saw it really enjoyed it. But you know, the fact that a lot of the wrestlers reached out and was like, I heard the interview, and you guys are absolutely right. You guys don't treat this like it's like a 2000 shoot interview trying to get dirt. You actually, it's a conversation. And it was actually a very good compliment. Somebody that had done the show in the past reached out and said, it's like you're hanging out with your friends rather than being grilled on questions. So your guard is down and you get to enjoy the show, which, you know, listen, that's it, for anybody that does this, that's broadcasting or radio, that's a huge compliment to get. So very much appreciate it. Couple to kind of recap, because this show is going to take a very sad turn in a few minutes, talking about the passing of Brody Lee, Luke Harper in WWE. So I wanted to get this out of the way before having to stop and kind of talk about all this. But so some of the stuff that we to cut back on the confusion, right? You get the podcast anywhere. Rich and I are not changing that. It's not going to be, you know, your feed is ending. You can still go to gfknetwork.com. You can still subscribe on Apple Podcasts and everywhere that I mentioned before. It's just this show will now be on the website, on the Wrestling Observer website, available for free for you to consume on their site. On top of that, we will eventually be doing a exclusive for their website. That won't be on our site. That won't be, it'll be on their website that we're working on right now to figure out how we're going to do that behind their paywall. You know, a bunch of you already are subscribers of The Observer. That's just, it's going to be something we're doing for them. On top of that, there's other projects going on. We're still going to do watch-alongs. We're still doing our interviews. I think this is going to open us up even more for some really cool stuff. Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people said, are you going to have Brian on? We'd love to have Brian on. Would you have Denise on? 100%, I would love to have Denise on. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the new year, and I think this is the perfect time to kind of kickstart everything and get it going. So a lot of cool stuff coming your way. Just what a crazy year. Saturday is our year end award show. So we kind of, normally the last show of the year, we recap everything that happened, right? But I think since we're doing a special show on Saturday for this, we'll just leave it on that. I think it'll be cool to kind of just summarize the year in professional wrestling, and what a crazy year it was. And of course, that leads us to the, I guess, the last big story of the year. And that's the passing of Brody Lee. October 7th was the last match he had against Cody. And after that, he somewhat disappeared, and a lot of people did not know what it was. Initially, the report was that it was an ankle injury that he sustained, and he would be off TV for a few weeks. I've spoken to a lot of people, and rather than speculating, like some other people have done, as to what happened here, I don't want to do that in respect to the family and everybody else involved. I don't want to sit there and speculate, but I've been told what the theory is, what possibly happened. I've shared it with Rich. I don't want to get into it here on the show. People have asked me if I know stuff. I don't know anything for certain, and I don't want to speculate publicly whatsoever, so I'm not going to do that. But, you know, his wife already stated it was a non-COVID-related lung issue. A lot of people were not happy with that response. I think it's interesting how people mourn and how people deal with scenarios like this.
Yes.
Bruce Mitchell's response to this was, you know, very convoluted and wacky. It was, you know what? That's the word, Rich. It was inappropriate. I think. Did you read the whole article? Because the article was not terrible if you read the whole thing.
Right. But, you know, I think the lines get, and again, I'm not ragging on anybody, but I do think with stuff like this, the lines get blurred a little bit and you have to take a step back and realize, like, yes, a man died. This wasn't the Kennedy assassination. Like, it's not. You know, like, you don't have like journalists running to the front lines for this, you know, like a guy unfortunately passed away. His family wanted to keep it quiet, and good for them. And nobody spilled the beans or anything. And I think what we can take out of that is that there's still goodness in people, you know. Just the guy was sick for 2 months and nobody knew. I think
I know that people had already speculated that, you know, the ankle injury was maybe a cover. Or the ankle injury led to something that caused this. I know that speculation existed, but the biggest problem that I had with this was that it was so soon, right? Like, the man passed away, not even 24 hours has gone by, and yet you have journalists, and I'm using, you know, hand quotes here for people listening. You have journalists demanding that his wife address the situation more. You know, because her response didn't satisfy the specific person in her post. So now, you know, it almost turned into this bizarro conspiracy of sorts that,
oh my God,
you know, you're holding back information that's a detriment. Listen, when someone passes away, listen, I understand people wanting an answer, but maybe give it a couple weeks.
Exactly. Or just forget about it and enjoy that celebration of life that was on last night, man.
And like,
that was tremendous.
Yeah, and that was a tremendous... I mean, this is also the first time that I believe an active wrestler on television, right? An active wrestler in North America on TV passed away in 14 years. I think Chris Benoit would have been the last one.
Yeah.
And you know, and then that was a whole scenario. But I do find this... what AEW presented yesterday was extremely respectful and tasteful. They went above and beyond, you know, to put this on, and just showed you how much they cared for this guy and how many of the wrestlers and throughout the industry. I mean, you know, one thing that you did see for the first time is that there wasn't a side, you know, when a WCW wrestler had passed away or WWE, the other companies were kind of, they would still acknowledge it to an extent, but not really.
Right.
They wouldn't want to, but everybody did the right thing here. I think WWE, you know, they did their thing. They're putting together a video, a lot of comments. I mean, the wrestlers just outpour of what unbelievable support for this guy that he was, you know, just what a good person he was, what a family man he was, how much he loved his kids and his family. Last night's presentation was so sad, man. I watched it this morning, and I'm watching it in bed. It's like 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, my eyes were filling.
Yeah,
just
dude.
Really sad, but they did an overall, I mean, very good tribute show.
And that's coming from somebody who is generally incapable of crying.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I pitch a show to go on the Wrestling Observer for us?
Yeah, do it.
The extra show?
Yeah.
You ready? The Enchanté Hour.
Okay. What
it's
do I do?
Just the Enchanté Hour. You're dressed as Enchanté, and you rebook wrestling according to what
Enchanté's rules. I don't think that...
Full-blown costume, though.
I don't think they've met Enchanté yet.
I don't think so. I think that would immediately get us canned.
I think so. So last night, big story, Brody Lee's show on AEW. He passed away Saturday at 41 years old. It was a lung issue, non-COVID related lung issue, stated by his wife on social media. The story is out that he was having some problems, and the first time he noticed it was that it was after that match with Cody. He was on the treadmill at some point, and he was having very much difficulty breathing, and they ended up getting it checked out. It was a much more serious issue than anybody had imagined. The family's requested to keep things quiet, even though talent knew for a while. So that kind of shows you know, people actually shut their mouth in 2020 and didn't run to social media or journalist and say, hey, you want to get some dirt and you want the Iggy. So that wasn't something that happened. WWE graphic, but no video package on Raw. They said that they're working on something. So I imagine there's going to be something on the network, the best of Luke Harper or something. Individual tributes from Tom Phillips, Drew McIntyre, Alexa Bliss, Xavier Woods. There were a lot of these little moments throughout the show on Monday. Stars actually promoted Dynamite. A lot of WWE stars promoted Dynamite. Donations through Pro Wrestling Tees, CM Punk store, Mick Foley store, and I believe a couple other people, all proceeds are going to the family, which is very nice. His son was given a contract and allowed to book the tribute show, which I thought was cute. So they did something last week. Was it last week they did this where Brody Lee Jr. pinned Kenny Omega?
The report came out that they filmed something special as like a gift to Lil Brody, and it was him making Kenny submit, I think, in like a headlock or something, and they gave him, like, symbolically, they gave him the AEW championship. Again, very sweet.
Listen, man, he'll remember that for the rest of his life. Obviously, this is a very it's a heartbreaking scenario for anybody, but that kid is forever going to be affected by his father's passing, and to see all these people come together and celebrate his father and celebrate him, it's a tremendous thing. AEW did a 10 bell salute on TV. Chris Jericho was on commentary, screaming, "It's okay to cry, damn it." You had video packages from Jon Moxley, Arn, Dax Hardwood, Colt Cabana, Eddie Kingston, Tony Schiavone, and Bryce Remsburg, which is a Chikara ref. So you had tributes, Young Bucks and Colt Cabana. Do you want to go down the card for me, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. So
we'll do it quickly.
Yeah. So, again, you touched on Jericho on commentary, which I think was great. You know, you had all those beautiful tributes. I think what was the first match? Lance Archer, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson versus Eddie Kingston, Butcher, and Blade. Lance came out dressed like classic Brody Lee, classic Luke Harper, dirty tank top and blue jeans, which I thought was awesome.
Also, that was really cool.
It was really cool. Also, I feel like, I think I'm not alone in saying this, every little bit of that show made me weep, like, almost uncontrollably.
Well, you know what it was also? I mean, like, my God, what a freaking year it's been, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
And like, the joke, you've heard the joke, everybody said, well, like, oh, if aliens and it landed, it wouldn't surprise me, or whatever it is, you know what I mean? However, like, this is a 41-year-old man in unbelievable physical shape. You know, forget about the aesthetics of muscles. I mean, the guy is a big, giant dude, and to be able to run around in a ring like that at his size and be that agile is quite an accomplishment. I don't think anybody's prepared to hear when someone like that passes away.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's rough, especially, I mean, like, it's a testament to the guy. that nobody has said a bad word about him, and immediately everybody's just kind of making each other feel better with these wonderful stories that you've heard about him. I got a kick out of like all the photobomb stuff that he did, also that people were posting. You know, it's very sweet. You know, and they say like, you know, a person can die, but as long as they're remembered, they'll live forever. And I think very much so in the wrestling industry, and in this case, absolutely, like people are gonna remember Brody Lee forever. You know?
Yeah.
Ooh, getting emotional. So we also had Jake Roberts hitting like an insane clothesline yesterday.
Oh yeah, Jake Roberts did the arm twist at the whole racket.
Oh my god.
You know what's funny though? You look at this guy and you're like, you know, obviously he's older, he's not in great shape, but he still has the footing down. You know what I mean? Like just the footwork looked intense.
Yes.
I've gotten very much into footwork, by the way.
Yeah, and Footloose, the movie.
Yeah.
But somebody, was it Jonathan that texted us this morning saying that was the greatest Rainmaker I've ever seen in my life?
I think, is that what he said?
It was somebody.
Yeah. He called it a Rainmaker. I love it.
Somebody said that.
Yeah, no, Jake, it looked unbelievable.
You also had Dark Order, Josh Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Adam Page versus Inner Circle, MJF, Santana, and Ortiz. I did appreciate that MJF stayed completely in character and also had Puerto Rican undies on yesterday.
Dude, that was the best. Was awesome. Can I tell you, like, nobody, I listened to like a bunch of reviews and stuff of AEW from last night. Yeah. Nobody else except for me and you, I was like, I got to put it in the notes that he was wearing the Puerto Rican undies.
Yeah.
I popped so hard at him coming out in the whole, you know, being a New Yorker. There is an unbelievable love towards Puerto Ricanism, Puerto Ricanist, like Puerto Ricanism. You know, like what was it the other day? My wife had a box of just like stuff from relatives, and of course, I'm like, where's the Puerto Rican belt buckle? Uh-huh. And she's like, shut up! Like she's making a joke. She pulls it out. Puerto Rican belt buckle. I'm like, I want that now. I want to wear that.
I want you to try to get
it.
Puerto Ricanism included into like the Oxford English Dictionary. It's almost like the way you say it. It's almost like lycanthropy. Like if you get bit by a Puerto Rican, you'll turn into one at the next full moon.
That's what happened to me, dude. How do you think I got married to my wife?
That's good job, Poppy.
Yeah. Hey, Poppy. All right. I thought that was great. MJF looked great. It was a fun match.
That was a lot of fun. MJF getting the kendo stick. Oh man, that Rowan Eric Redbeard run-in. I lost it. I completely lost it. I think Gonzo was texting me about how he was drowning in his own tears at that point too.
Yeah. What else?
We got Tecate and Anna Jay versus Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. Very, very solid, man. Like,
hey, by the way, shout out, AEW's in the chat room.
What's up, guys?
Listen, guys, unbelievable job last night. Tremendous job. Be very proud of the show.
Yeah, everybody over delivered yesterday. It was crazy. Everybody wrestled with such passion. Orange Cassidy, Ten and Cody versus Team Taz. Sting and Darby Allin show up to prevent the beatdown, and then you had kind of like the closing of the show, which I think was quite beautiful. You know, it was stirring, if I can use that word.
No, it was great. Here's a question for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching a show, it was interesting because you could, you know, we get so wrapped up in like ratings and stuff like that. Like everybody's talking about the ratings, what's the ratings going to be? Like this show did not matter. You know what I mean? Like this was not for that. It was something very special that was put in, and you really got to see like, okay, you know what? The wall went down. The fourth wall was broken here. This is something real. This is something serious. John Silver looked like a million bucks. He was wearing the mini Brody outfit, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
The kendo stick shot was cool. Was there any point in the show you're like that didn't do it for you? I mean, everything was perfect here.
No, I think you also have to remove yourself as a human being from something like this and like kind of walk into the situation with zero expectations and kind of let it unfold in front of you, you know? And as much as, you know, we've covered wrestling for the last, like, who knows how many years doing this show, you know, like we took that step back, I think, altogether, and we're just like, yeah, let's just watch this. It's going to be sad. Like, we're on a group text with, like, other grown men basically saying, like, how hard we're going to cry, you know?
Yeah.
And also, good for Tony Khan for getting the perpetual rights to that Tom Waits song, man. That's,
yeah, so they don't have to edit out later on.
So awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's see what else we got here.
Yeah, you want to take a breath and then you want to take a breath and go into it?
Yeah, yeah. Did you go over to Tay Conti?
Yes.
Tay Conti, Anna Jay, we went over that. Orange Cassidy, Ten, and Cody versus Team Taz. Mm-hmm. The ending was really cool. Sting came out, Darby came out, and then to prevent the beatdown. You know, now you're starting to see they actually did run a story here, obviously, with Sting and Darby and Cody. That's going to be the big story for them next year, it seems like, and I'm excited to see that. What else did we have here? Sorry, man, I this took me out of it. Jeez.
I know, me too, man. I got to shake it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's, and again, like, this is coming from, like, a complete fan's perspective. You know, it's like, oof. It's hard, you know, but we got to do the show.
Yeah. Okay. So the Brody Lee segment, let's go into this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's break this down. Cody introduced his family and Brody Lee Jr., which is -1. His son left the boots in the ring. Tony Khan gave his son the TNT Championship and said that he's a lifetime champion. So a little tidbit from this is that Tony Schiavone on the post after the show revealed later that the new TNT Championship design is in the works. And this is actually the TNT title that Darby has. They gave it to Brody Lee Jr. So there's a whole new belt there. This is going to be in honor of Brody. You know, let the title go away. Let this be the Brody, I guess, remembrance belt. And now there's a new TNT title that's going to come up in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Listen, great. Works. And at the end, they showed a video package similar to what WWE does. As you said, they bought the right. They licensed the rights for the audio, for the music.
Yes. Yeah.
So you don't have to edit it later on. Great job by Tony there. Great job by everybody. Just, you know, take the wrestling out of this. They did an unbelievable job at remembering this guy, what a terrible, terrible way to end the year. But, I think the way that the show was done made up for a lot of this, and it just showed you know how respected the guy was.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, 2020 can suck a dick.
Jesus. I know. It's terrible.
That's all I'm saying about that.
Terrible. All right. So let's kind of move on. And then we'll do our Q&As at the end, guys. So hold your questions and we'll answer some questions. So another big thing that happened was SmackDown had the largest viewership of 2020 with an NFL lead. And I believe 14 million people were watching that game. It was something astronomical. They had an unbelievable lead in. The first hour was, I believe, over 4 million. I believe the first hour at one point hit over 5 million viewers.
Oh, wow.
I believe the first hour did 4 million viewers, but the first match, like the quarters, I think it was like 5.2 million people were watching that Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens steel cage match. And
was
I was thinking, when is the last time you've had 5 million people watching wrestling?
That's in general an astronomical number when it comes to modern wrestling, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Sorry. I lost you for a second. I lost you for a second.
What happened?
Sorry.
Did you just put everything down and walk out of the room for a second?
I literally did. I had to prevent my dog from clawing at the door.
I thought you needed to take a second to compose yourself.
Yeah, I need a second here. No, but listen, but here's a good question. When's the last time a wrestling show got 5 million viewers? 5 million eyeballs?
Probably what? Like, it not in the modern era, right? Not in the modern wrestling in the last 10 years.
No, I think it probably happened in a modern era. Something. A quarter hour that did 5 million viewers. I don't know. Somebody could pull this up. I don't have it in front of me. I could probably dig into this. I just thought of this. When is the last time?
I'm gonna go out on a limb here And I'm going to say it must have been some kind of Austin return.
Somebody in the chat could find this. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. I think Mr. Gonzo probably knows, like, offhand.
Yeah.
What it is. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure he can pull it up.
And Mr. Gonzo, big shout out to you for updating the notes as we go along. Thank you very much. It's very helpful.
So, I mean, tremendous numbers. And I thought SmackDown was a really good show for not having anything really promoted other than that steel cage match. Very good job with that steel cage match. Good job at making it the opener to get those NFL eyeballs. And here's the other perception. You know, I always say perception is the key to all of this, right? Forget about the matches. We could talk about a five-star match all we want, but the perception of the product and the person in the match is what sells it. Especially when you're talking about secondary viewership, right? We're not talking about the infamous P1 viewer. When we're talking about the secondary and third, you know, a little criticism of AEW last week, they got their butts handed by social media when you talk about negativity, you know, by people that aren't familiar with the product. They're not familiar with the product. A lot of these people came in, and apparently the NFL viewers were happy to watch some wrestling. The NBA viewers that tuned into AEW following it, I was surprised at the negativity from non wrestling fans.
Really, you're shocked by NBA Twitter?
They hold back. No, they don't. NBA Twitter, I guess, does not hold back. NFL Twitter, they're a little bit more conservative here. But it was a great leading for SmackDown. I'm curious what this means for this week's viewership. Because remember, SmackDown came the week prior to this. They were on FS1, and they got about 1 million viewers, which is not bad at all. They did really good for being on FS1. They maintained that 1 million mark. Now that you go on the following week, generally you'll drop. But because of that tremendous NFL lead-in, it really helped them.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Yes.
Specifically. Yeah. And you can answer this as technical as you want, going into like P1s, P2s, and P3s or whatever. Okay. So you made a good point in what you said a couple of minutes ago by the presentation of the opening of SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that presentation, is this something that can take that Roman Reigns character to the next level? In like that stone cold kind of trajectory where everybody knows who the guy is.
You know, that's actually a phenomenal question, right? Because it really is. Because by the way, Damian G in our chat room, March 4, 2013, apparently the hour two of Raw had 5 million viewers.
Huh.
So what was on that show, March 4, 2013? So we're a month away from WrestleMania. WrestleMania in 2013. Which WrestleMania would that have been?
Awesome.
Austin WrestleMania 2013? Austin Rock?
It's Austin Rock.
Oh,
Austin
hell Rock yeah. What would that have been? Hold on. Let's go down my mind. Hold on.
WrestleMania.
So WrestleMania 2013 would have been the year before the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania. So it would have been...
This was 29. So it was Rock Cena.
It was an old school Raw. There you go.
Okay.
It was an old school Raw. Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense. Okay. So 5 million. So you're going back... It was an old school Raw.
Okay. And that was WrestleMania 29, April 7, 2013, main event. Yeah. Was this Once in a Lifetime Part 1 or Once in a Lifetime Part 2?
This was Rock Cena Lifetime
Part 2. This is Rock Cena 2.
This is Rock Cena 2. Yeah.
Okay. Once in a Lifetime, the second time.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guarantee it was an Austin segment if they were doing like an old school Raw. All right. Now, back to my question. Roman Reigns, is this what he needs to be that breakout guy that is saturating everything?
So, he really, that character, like who he is today, could be put in any generation and people would get behind the character as a heel, right? I feel like he is channeling a very believable part of who he is. By what we are seeing on TV. And that is always the topic that we discuss. When you have a character, it has to be an extension of who you are to some extent. I'm not saying that Randy Orton is a sociopath setting women and men on fire, but you take an aspect of who you are, and then you morph it into something larger than life. And they've done a great job with Randy Orton right now, and they've done a great job with Roman Reigns over the last couple months. The build to this character of his, this is the Roman Reigns that we should have had in 2014, in 2015, in 2016. This is the guy coming off the Shield stable, coming into an individual spot. You know what? This is fascinating. Okay, let's go backwards now, right? This is how they did it, where forget about Seth Rollins being the guy that broke up the Shield. It's Roman with Paul Heyman.
That would have been cool. Now,
how would that have changed things?
Oh, that's a good what if scenario. I think booking would have stayed the same. I think Roman would have been made to look stronger than ever. I also think he may have been the one to break Taker's streak if that was the case.
So 2015, here we go. It would have been in 2015 if they did this. Maybe could he have broken Taker's streak? I don't know, but you know what? My God, you want to put heat on somebody? That's the guy to do it with. I find, you know, this version of him, it comes out so natural, so it seems like he wanted to do this. But now we're in this whole vacuum of, okay, it was done, worst timing, you know, global pandemic, no live crowd. And the other question is, how would a live crowd have modified this character?
That's a really good question. I also think, like, I kind of want to just interject real quick. I think right now it's right time, right place, because this guy, he didn't have to return to TV, right? Especially during the COVID era and with his past medical history. Yeah. He could have just stayed at home perpetually. And I think one of the things about this angle was, hey, listen, if it's worth it and the creative is there, I will do whatever you want. And I think he's got the strongest creative in WWE right now, right?
So you want to know how strong that creative is?
Tell me.
So I watched that main event, that steel cage match, really well done, right? The ending where they handcuffed him, right? To the cage, and he stepped out. In my mind, we cover wrestling, but I was like, you know what? What a bitch move.
Yes.
I'm like, what a bitch move. Like, you fought this guy and this is how you're doing it. You're not even climbing the cage. You're gonna step out because there's no other option for this guy. Like, he can't even fight it. I'm like, Mike, you know what? That got it. That's exactly the response you're supposed to have for that ending.
Absolutely.
Because you know he's tough, but he's still a heel, right? How are they going to get that over? This is how you get it over, that he's a heel. And you don't like this guy. He's a bad man. He handcuffed him, and he got out the cheesy way.
So, do you watch SmackDown with your kids?
No, my kids are sleeping.
Okay.
My kids go to bed at 7:30.
Wow, me too. Have you watched other wrestling with your kids?
Yeah, all the time.
Who do they like?
My daughter loves The Big Show.
Okay.
Freaking loves The Big Show. I have no idea why. I think because he's big.
Current. Yes.
Yeah. I watched the pay-per-view with Taylor when I rewatched the pay-per-view when he set Bray on fire. So perfect thing to watch your kids, but and then this morning my daughter watched AEW with me.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So she watches it. She's into it.
Okay. What about Hunter?
He's too young now. He just discovered Spider-Man and Batman. That's all he cares about.
I imagine in a couple of years Hunter will be the biggest Roman Reigns fan.
Oh, how could he not be?
Right. We're close to 40. We're closer to 40 than we've ever been.
That is true.
And you know what? When you think of like people can take a poo on a lot of wrestling, but then when you think about the other side of it, which is like, you know, your son is definitely gonna grow up and watch wrestling, and he's probably gonna like the guys that we may not find thrilling at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's see what else we got in the notes. Let's see. So here's a big story here. So SmackDown, let's talk about it. That Roman match, great. The cage match was good. All-Star Women's Tag Match. And Daniel Bryan, Jey Uso. Very much like these two with each other. They always have a great match, and then Big E won the IC title. That's the big story here.
Oh, so good, man.
Really cool celebration at the end for him. Got the IC title. So MG Geek was in the Thunderdome on Tuesday when they filmed this.
Is this when they cut the lights out on him?
And this is they cut the lights out, and they're like, okay, dude, go home. They just shut off everything. They're like, MG Geek's here. We got to go. They just shut down. But he was sending us the results. I didn't want to ruin it last week when we did the show. But very cool for him to get that title. I think this is going to be a nice little change for him. You know, he's moving up.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
There's another one. Okay, and I put this out there to Twitter on Monday night, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. Do you think Randy Orton will ever wrestle for another promotion?
No, I can't see that. I'd be shocked. No. I would be shocked. I would genuinely be shocked if he did.
Okay. Just taking a leap of faith. I honestly feel like at some point that's going to happen where he'll go away from WWE for like a year, and then in that year hit every single company, excuse me, and then come back to WWE.
I've been told that he's very intense on being a WWE guy.
Like he's a lifer.
He's a lifer. Yeah. Like there's no. Yeah. He's a lifer.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his, like him, Cena, like there's a handful of these guys that these guys are very grateful to this company and they won't go anywhere else. Like they'll die on the, with that boat sinking.
Okay.
You know, I'm not saying that it's sinking. I'm just saying that they're not going to go anywhere else.
I want to hear you botch more metaphors.
Yes, please. Thank you. Keith Lee defeated Sheamus on Raw to earn a title shot next week. Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton's segment was the cliffhanger ending where she doused herself in gasoline. Then Randy lit the match and it went black. Cliffhanger ending. Heavy promotion for Legends Night next week on Raw. And Raw did a 1.7 million viewership, which is not bad.
Yeah.
But here's a funny thing, right? We talk about this Legends Night all the time. Last week we spoke about it. I feel like my idea is perfect. Do you agree with that? That they should do an Attitude Night? Raw gets Attitude.
I think they should do an Attitude Night, but again, if they write that show, this is complete fantasy booking, by the way. If they write that show centered around Stone Cold, then they'll do phenomenal numbers. Guaranteed.
My God.
And have him somehow be in the ring and in the Thunderdome at the same time. Forget it. There's your 5 million right there. There's your 5 million viewers.
Yeah. I think that they could do something other than just having the legends there, but it'll get them a good number, you know. But do we see Bray do something with Hogan? I want to see that. I do. I want to see it.
Do you want to see the fitness Bray in the sweater, or the Fiend?
I want to see the Fiend. I want to see the Fiend stick his dirty little fingers in his mouth.
Oh, you think they're going to go that far? Like Hogan shows up after like.
What do you think Hogan does? Do you think he just starts gagging?
He gets mandible clawed immediately.
That's it. It's just that. He's like, but can you do like, hey, brother, we're here for like. And he starts.
Oh, Poppy.
No, Poppy.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
When the world opens back up and we can go to like out, we can go to bars again and see all our friends and all that stuff. Can you, instead of shaking hands, can you immediately just go for a mandible claw?
Can I tell you, my brother Alec had a girlfriend, and every time I would see her, I got drunk one time and I wrapped my fingers up in tape and I mandible clawed her. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would do this all the time to her. And it came to the point that she would scream in fear and exit out the house when I would just come out like this. I would taunt her and I would just be like,
oh my God.
And she would run out and I would chase after her like a freaking lunatic, screaming, come in here. I want to put my fingers in your mouth, screaming it at the top of my lungs over and over again. So it is something that I've done in the past and I will do again. I'm not afraid to do this.
I just think it would be funny, like, if, you know, let's say, like, at some point in the year 2025, when we can go to press again.
Yeah.
And Bob, our friend Bob Rowe, is sitting there, and he's like, hey, Andrew, hey, Rich, what's going on? And then you just...
Mandible claw?
Oh, straight mandible claw. Like, he doesn't even see it coming. uncomfortable, right?
You know what? I have no problem doing that. I'll do that to Bob. Bob's in the chat. Bob, next time I see you, when things open up, I'll mandible claw.
straight up Hannibal Club.
Yeah. No, I next week is Legend, so we're gonna have Flair. See, I don't want to see Flair take a mandible claw. Does nothing for me. I want to see Hogan take a mandible claw.
Jeez, imagine if all of the Legends Raw next week is every single legend taking a mandible claw from the feed.
Yeah. Bob said, amongst consenting adults. That's what he said.
Oh man. What's the counter to the mandible claw? It has to be like a nut shot. Right?
It's like a nut squeeze. That's the only way you can let go of it. That's the only way. Like this.
I'm also really giggling inside, picturing you mandible clawing every single person that you know when you say hi to them. It's like your thing.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. That's fine. Go ahead. Yeah,
I was gonna say it, then the year after is when you start stink facing people.
That's I'm into that too.
This is good. Oh, Andrew was so cool, and then he started mandible claw. Oh man, Andrew was so cool, and then he started stink facing everybody.
NXT started off with a picture of Luke Harper, Brody Lee. It was a go home show for New Year's Evil. There was a great video package for Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez. Rhea Ripley's looking even scarier than ever.
Oh, she's awesome.
Yeah, Lucha House Party showed up to set up the Cruiserweight title match next week. Johnny Gargano retained a North American Championship over Leon Ruff. Dusty Tag Team Classic announced to return NXT Awards. So this was interesting. Breakout star Shotzi Blackheart. I agree with that. Rivalry of the year was Adam Page and Pat.
Great.
McAfee. Okay. Okay, that's fine. I agree with that. Tag Team of the Year, Undisputed Era, fine. Male Competitor of the Year, Finn Balor, fine. Female EO, great. Overall, EO, fine. And Match of the Year was Balor and Kyle O'Reilly. I agree with that. I think that was Match of the Year. But you know what? Did they not see the...
You done Kyle O'Reilly?
No. The Walter and... what is it? Dragunov?
Ilya Dragunov, yeah.
Did they not count that as a match? Because I think that was the best match that WWE had.
Well, those are your top three, right? Kyle O'Reilly, Pete Dunne, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, and the Ilya Dragunov match, which at what point in the year did that happen?
It was early. It had to have been, right? Okay. When was it?
Does NXT UK not count in their own rankings?
When was this? When the hell was this match? No, it was recent. It was November? Right? Yeah, October 29th. It was October 29th. That match was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, it was current enough, which I'm surprised that they did not incorporate this. But again, it was on an episode of NXT UK, you know? Like, they didn't make this into a big deal. I think this was one of the best matches that they had.
I honestly could swear that this match happened in January.
I know, me too.
Am I living in your coma?
I think you are living in my coma now. I think you're back in it. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's October. So unbelievable match. Surprised it's not being considered. All right, what else do we have?
Let's see here. All right. So that was cool. This is the go home show for their New Year's Evil.
Yes.
Which I think should be fun. We're also getting, and again, like we started the show, a lot of news this week. It took us a while to get rolling. Next week, two nights of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes. Yes. Starts off on January 4th, 3 a.m. Eastern. So it's early Monday morning, next Monday. Monday morning. Night one of the G1. Let's go down this card. You're going to have your first pre-show match is a 22-man New Japan Rumble. Winner, he wrote Rambo. He wrote Rambo. And I think he meant Rumble. That cannot be a Rambo. Ranbo.
Mr. Gonzo's from the Dirty South, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo.
That's how they say Rumble. Winner challenges for the provisional King of Pro Wrestling 2021 trophy on night two. Okay, so you're going to have Takahashi versus El Fantasmo. Winner gets an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match on night two. You got Tanahashi versus the Great Okan. Interesting that Tanahashi's in this. I know that they're giving Great Okan a push here. So this is interesting to see what they do with this. Last year, Tanahashi faced Chris Jericho. The Grape Okan.
There you go.
Kazuchika, I know, the internet is so great. Kazuchika Okada versus Will Ospreay. I think this is a moment for Will Ospreay to shine because 2021, they're going to really be pushing him. He is a foreign star that they've had for quite some time that's built up his size into the heavyweight positioning. So I think he's going to get a nice little push here. Kenta, Wright City IWGP U.S. Championship match. Kenta, which is the holder of those rights, is facing Kojima.
That should be fun.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Obviously, that's a replacement match because we could not get John Moxley over to Japan right now. So that's going to be the match where it is. And really, they don't want to strip him of this title. They don't believe in stripping people of titles. So this match will happen in the next couple of months. I'm sure we're going to see something here. IWGP Tag Team Championship, Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi versus Gorillas of Destiny.
Awesome.
I'll tell you off the air about this, by the way. This match.
Cool. Okay.
There was something more to this. Yeah. Really? Yeah. There was something more to this.
No,
yeah.
Interesting.
IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Championship. You have Naito and Ibushi. So I'm at the point that they need to split these titles, right? The IWGP tag title, heavyweight title and the IC title need to be separated at this point. I don't know how or what they're going to do. I would have really anticipated that they would have done this by now.
Can I fantasy book split this right now?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so I'm really excited about this, by the way, because I came up with this idea the other day, and I thought I was the greatest booker in the world. All right, you ready?
Yes, give me.
Okay, Tetsuya Naito and Kota Ibushi, which is the main event of Wrestle Kingdom Night 1 for the Heavyweight and Intercontinental IWGP Championships, right? That match goes to a draw, right? No winner declared. Somebody gets on the mic and they say, tomorrow night, it's going to be a three-way dance. Tetsuya Naito, Kota Ibushi, Jay White, right? First pin gets the IC belt. Second pin gets the heavyweight belt.
Okay.
So you could still have somebody having both belts, or you can, that's a good way to split the belts up going into New Year's Dash. You know?
So here's a question. If you win the IC title, are you out of the match?
No.
Or do you still continue? You could win both if you want.
You can still win both.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad way of doing it.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It is a Rambo. Rambo.
It's a Rambo?
New Japan Rambo. Yeah, it says opening match, New Japan Rambo.
Wow.
What the hell is a New Japan Rambo?
We're going to have to find out.
I mean, he did write Rambo, not Rambo, but he's close enough.
He wrote Rambone.
Rambone. Don't question MG Geek, he wrote. That's what he just said.
Mr. Gonzo.
Yeah. All right. No, I think that's fine. Doing like in a very ECW three-way dance way. All right, cool. I'm into
That'd be cool.
They gotta split it. They gotta split it somewhere. So, and does it make sense? Like, are they going to have matches if they don't split it, right? But would they do matches where like you're only defending the IC title? They didn't do any of that. Like, you didn't see Naito just have an IC title match.
Right. And plus, Japan is starting to open up a little more. And I think it always seems like they're very hesitant to pull the trigger on Kota Ibushi. And I think if they split the belt with him having the IC belt, it'll help him further down the line. I think he needs a belt around his waist for 2021.
Well, I think last year was the moment for him.
And for Kota Ibushi?
Yeah. I think that would have been the moment for him.
Okay.
And they didn't do it. So, Ibushi, Naito, night one. So now, night two, the fifth, again at 3 a.m. so you have, what is this? You have the start of match, obviously, and I'm going to butcher these names, Rich. You want to do it because you're a little bit better.
Sure. You have Seiya Kemitani, Azumi, and Utami Hayashi versus Mika Natsupoi and Himika. These matches are apparently not being showed on NJPW World.
No,
it's going to be for the live crowd.
Yeah, it's going to be for the live crowd.
But I do think they're going to be released on NJPW World at some point.
I don't know what they did with last year's Stardom matches. I'm not sure.
Okay. And then you have Mayu Iwatani and Tam Nakano versus Sayuri and Julia. So that's kind of a cool opener to night two of Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay.
And then you have the provisional King of Pro Wrestling 2021 trophy, Turnbuckle Dan versus Turnbuckle Dan versus Turnbuckle Dan
versus Turnbuckle Dan.
And then you have the never, I love that never belt, the never open, the never open weight championship, Shingo versus Jeff Cobb. I think it's going to be a, it's going to be like watching two titans collide.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Big dudes.
And I think Cobb takes it.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Sonata versus Evil, which I've kind of been looking forward to this ever since Evil turned.
So he had a bad year, huh?
Who, Evil? Or
I mean,
or
he was a world champion. I mean, listen, yeah. Evil was a world champion, but I feel like, and by the way, that was always the plan. They wanted to do this, but I feel like because of no audience, the whole program of you know, him and the crew essentially fell apart because you had no heat from the crowd to kind of react to it. And they didn't wrestle for so long where you kind of forgot that Naito and Evil are part of a team and he's now the champion, but Naito's really the guy. Very interesting.
Yeah. All right. So who do you think takes it between Sonata and Evil?
I think Sonata.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Okay. You have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, El Desperado, and wait, what am I looking at right here? Oh, this is a separate.
The tag one, no?
Tag one, right? Yeah. Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru versus Taguchi and Master Wato. That's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. And then you got the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship with Ishimori versus Phantasmo or Takahashi. I want Takahashi to have it, but either one of these guys are going to put on an unbelievable match.
I think this is going to be ELP's year. For a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's in that Will Ospreay position of the foreigner who's going to get pushed a little bit. Because Ospreay, I feel like Ospreay's going to get a major, major championship in 2021.
Also, Hiromu is really pulled back.
Yes.
You know, after coming back. I think you're right. I think Phantasmo being the foreigner, you hit the nail on the head there.
Mm.
Are you a fan of his? Do you like his stuff?
I like ELP. I like ELP a lot, actually. I think he's an interesting addition to the Bullet Club, and it seemed like he's kind of in that like Hangman Page position.
Hmm.
You know, where like, oh, he's a cool guy and he's kind of in the background until he starts really wrestling more and more and more and getting out in front of an audience more, and then he'll get pushed a little bit, you know, like a little bit further. I think they tried to do that with Robbie Eagles, but then they kicked him out of the Bullet Club, and I can't tell you what happened to him after that.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then you have the main event, which could be Naito or Ibushi versus Jay White.
Yeah. What do you think's going to happen here?
As much as I would love them to do that three-way dance, I think it's going to come down to Jay White and Ibushi, with Ibushi winning night one, getting both belts, and then Jay White winning night two. So Ibushi does get the championship, but only for a day.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, listen, I'm a big fan of Kota Ibushi, and I have been for many, many years. I'm patiently waiting for it to be his time.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been waiting also. I think that if you're going to do you think it hurts him now if you do that swap at the last minute where you take the title off and put him on Jay White the following day? Do you think that hurts the story of Ibushi?
I don't think so, because he's a dude that he always struck me as a guy who is completely unaffected by however New Japan books him, because he's so great that he can overcome whatever nonsense they may throw at him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I hope so. I mean, listen, at one point, I know, but at one point, you know, it's going to fall apart. At one point, people are just not going to care. So you got to either pull it now or never.
Well, he's one of those guys, and I think we've talked about this every single year when Wrestle Kingdom comes up. It's that it's the same group of like six guys who are always in those main events.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this year your day one, like semi main is going to be Okada versus Ospreay? Because it has to be, right?
Semi, yeah, it has to be for night one. Yeah,
right. And then night two, I think your semi main is going to end up being, either the Shingo match or the ELP match with Ishimori and Takahashi.
For night two.
Yeah, for night two. Or, you know what, Sonata versus Evil might be the semi-main.
Maybe Sonata versus Evil.
Yeah.
That could be the semi. Interesting. And then New Year's Dash, obviously, on the 6th, Wednesday morning, set up New Year's Dash. Last year, they did not do a big angle, right? Was it last year they didn't do, like, the big mega angle on New Year's Dash?
Yeah, I can't remember. I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
I think it was lacking that big main event, main angle. WWE, obviously, Monday Night Raw, Legends Night, you're going to see Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. New Year's Evil card coming up. Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher in a fighter pit. A fight pit. The winner has to be knocked out or submitted. You got Grand Metalik versus Santos Escobar for the Cruiserweight Championship. Should be a great match. You're going to get Karrion Kross's return to the ring against Damian Priest. Another great match. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez, last woman standing match. So is this a 30-minute last woman standing match?
A 30-minute last woman standing match.
Is it 30 minutes? I think it is 30 minutes, right?
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong. Somebody in the chat could fix this. And then obviously Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly, too, for the NXT Championship. Now, this is going to lead into a whole bunch of stuff. Obviously, the big story here is Karrion Kross's return, wanting this title back. You also have Pete Dunne kind of in the mix here for the title. You got Kyle O'Reilly getting his rematch. There's a lot of moving parts. Adam Cole sitting in the back watching. So there's a lot of moving parts for that world championship, for the NXT Heavyweight Championship. This year is going to be interesting to see who gets it, because Balor was only supposed to be here temporarily and he stayed because of everything that's going on.
He stuck around.
He did. He stuck around. Then you got New Year's Smash next week. New Year's Smash night one. You got AEW World Championship match. Kenny Omega versus Rey Fenix. Fire match. Unbelievable match. AEW Women's Championship with Sheeta and Abaddon. You got the Young Bucks.
So sold on Abaddon, by the way.
Dude, you know what? I don't even want to see her wrestle. I don't care to see her wrestle. I just want to see her do her entrance and just be creepy. That's cool.
Terrifying.
It's fine. Sometimes it's fine. You know, sometimes that's all you need. Where was I? Young Bucks and SCU versus the Acclaimed and TH2. Cody and Matt Sydal. Cody versus Matt Sydal. Why did they add that?
Okay. I'm not sure, but that's a good match. I'm looking forward to it.
You got Hager and Wardlow. John Moxley returns. Chris Jericho on commentary. And a special appearance by our favorite Snoop Dogg.
Uh-oh.
Guys, get your questions ready. We're going to do our Q&A segment in a matter of minutes. Just a reminder, starting January 7th, your boys going to be on the Wrestling Observer Figure 4 online website with this show. We have a lot of cool stuff coming on board. Be sure to subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Also, the year-end award show and preview for 2021. You can vote here. MG Geek is posting the link in the chat as we speak. You can go vote for your best moments, worst moments, whatever it is. We'll have this in the notes, obviously, and of course we'll put on social media. You can join us on Saturday at 11 a.m. East. Prediction live in chat and using the Twitter hashtag MattMan2021. MG Geek will be curating the responses that you guys are going to be submitting for us. With that said, guys, let's start our Q&A segment. What do we have?
All right, let's see here. We had a good question here. I'm going to scroll up just a little bit. But before we get into the questions, Bob has a personal question.
Go.
What are the MattMan 2021 New Year's resolutions?
I'm going to get jacked again.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
I'm going to take a bunch of testosterone and get super jacked. I'm just warning all of you.
Dude, we're going to... As soon as a little inside baseball here, as soon as we got the news last week that we're going to be on the Observer, me, Andrew, and I were texting each other about how we're going to get Road Warrior jacked in 2021.
Yeah, that's that's my goal. I'm just going to get super, super jacked and act like a lunatic and paint my face. I just want to have a, you know what? The Juggalos kind of have that thing, right? It's a Juggalo thing to paint your face. Why isn't anybody else doing this? Why is it a Juggalo thing? Why can't I paint my face in a scary way and just function as a human being in society?
Like Kamatanga?
Yeah. I just want to walk around with face paint. Why can't I do that? I'm going to start doing that.
Mandible clawing people.
Yeah, that's it.
You're going to show up on the Citizen app every day.
Yeah.
All right. So Damien asks, Damien G in our chat room, what three women in each promotion do you think are going to make the leap in 2021?
Three women that aren't like top stars?
Or just three women?
Shotzi, right? Yeah. I would go Shotzi. I would do EO on the main roster. And on WWE, I'm going to go with one more person. I'm going to go Toni Storm.
Ooh, okay. Just okay. Going to the main roster.
That like having a big year. Big, tremendous year.
Okay.
Who's yours for WWE?
I agree with what you're saying. I think for the most part, WWE women are going to stay where they are as, you know, in terms of like who's going to jump ship or whatever. I think you're going to see more of a unification on the indie wrestling level, where I think we mentioned this on the show last week. It kind of feels like you're going to end up seeing Deonna Purrazzo on Dynamite. It feels like you're going to end up seeing Deonna Purrazzo versus Serena Deeb versus Sheeta at some point, right?
Okay.
So I think that side of wrestling is very healthy. Somebody on Twitter asked us the other day, who can you see jumping ship to WWE? And I think you and I have said this several times. I think Penelope Ford would be a very interesting addition to that roster.
You know what? She's exactly what they would want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if there was one person that they could probably get and use, it would be her, because she's improved tremendously. I think on the AEW side, however, when you're talking about, you know, who's going to have a big thing, I think Deonna Purrazzo going over there and doing some matches will be tremendous for that roster. I think Thunder Rosa, obviously, she's going to have a tremendous year. I think that she's had an unbelievable year. Also, Corey says, why is Thunder Rosa not an option for Female Wrestler of the Year? That's a great question for MG Geek. It might have been an oversight because there was so many people. So, you know, but also her year started late, so maybe I could justify it a little bit if I have to defend MG Geek, but or it could have just been an oversight. Oh, he said my bad. It's oversight. Okay. Yeah, I think that's a good question, though. I think on the women's side, yeah, what are we seeing? I think AEW is just going to get a little bit better, and I think on the WWE side, they're just knocking it out of the park.
Okay. I agree. Women's wrestling is very interesting. It has been very interesting in the last couple of years, you know, and you can really see the difference between WWE and everybody else, where it's like, that's like showbiz. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's so dynamic and gigantic, you know, as far as like, look at Charlotte and Asuka, you know, like that's really like that. They're so big, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Transferring Heat podcast has another question. Does Matt Men really think Nick Jackson is HBK?
I don't. I know that Rich is very high on him. I personally don't think he is. But okay. Rich, you go ahead, because that was your tweet.
That was my tweet yesterday, and a lot of people took a major dump on that tweet, and I'm going to stand by it. Why?
Okay.
It's not so much in-ring, or it's a little bit of the in-ring, but it's mostly the cocky charm that he has. That cocky charm that Nick Jackson has when the camera is on him reminds me of a younger HBK, like 90s HBK, like right before he got like real dirty.
I think some of that is by design, you know, that yes. He does. I like dirty HBK. I love like 97 HBK. That's
the
what
dirtiest.
I want. The dirtiest HBK. Of HBKs. Dirtiest of sexy boys.
Yeah, dirty HBK is a fan favorite for sure. Like for me, all the HBKs are, but there's something really grimy about nasty HBK.
Late 96, 97 HBK, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, like the HBK that looked like he didn't want to be there, you know?
I love that HBK. He just didn't want to be anywhere. He just didn't want to do it anymore. I don't know. I think they're fine. I think the Young Bucks are fine. I personally don't think that, you know, he's HBK. I think they're fine the way that they are. They're their own people. That's all.
In terms of charm and stuff like that. I mean,
I could
aura,
see it. I could see
the aura.
It. Yeah.
Right.
You I know, could but, see it.
God forbid somebody compares one wrestler to their favorite wrestler. You know?
Yeah, Shin didn't says, you, like, I'm... Shin
did you
says...
used to walk around... Sorry.
No, no, go ahead. What is it? Go.
Did you used to walk around saying that you think Enzo Amore is better than The Rock?
All the time. No, no, no. That's Jonathan. That's Jonathan. Shin says, I got my ass kicked outside of nightclub. HBK is the best HBK. And Dave also says, HBK before you got beat up by the Marines.
Ooh.
There were no Marines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was like...
It was like 18. I like that the story was like there was like 18 Marines and Davey Boy was stuck in the car because he's so big he couldn't get out and save him.
What kind of car was it? Was it a smart car?
I think it was like a Toyota Tercel. I think it was like a cheap tiny rental.
I got cut off in traffic by a smart car yesterday, and I was like,
"Did you want to murder him?"
I was like, "No, I was impressed." I was like, "Wow, that is courageous."
Yeah, the balls on you in your smart car.
And I was doing like maybe 72. You know, and this guy just right in front of me, no turn signal, no nothing. And I was like, wow, courage. Look at that. That is courage personified.
Gene B, would you compare last night's Dynamite to Raw is Owen tribute? I don't remember the Owen tribute at all.
Yeah, me neither.
I watched it probably twice in my life. I think that was so sad, the Owen tribute. But, you know... I gotta go. I mean, I don't even want to rewatch it, but I gotta rewatch it to remember that. But I do remember the vignettes and the clips and stuff. It was just so sad, and the Owen thing was just so tragic because it happened live on TV. Yeah,
we're the sad men today.
Yeah, the sad men. Transfer and Heat podcast. 9 thugs outside of a club in Vince's voice. I still remember. Yeah, he called them 9 thugs.
Mm-hmm.
Owen's tribute ended with Stone Cold in beer. Yeah, he did the toast to Owen Hart. But I remember at the time that they had a lot of heat. Remember, they weren't speaking.
Right.
So that was always weird. What else do we have? Let's do some more questions.
Vinny Zamp asks, what do you guys want to see more of in wrestling in 2021? Live crowds. That's my answer.
Yeah, live crowds, obviously. I want to see it kind of go back to that. 2020 would have been a very interesting year for wrestling if this pandemic didn't happen. I think a lot of stuff kind of got reworked for the better, some stuff for the better, some stuff for the just to prevent damage, collateral damage. I think having a live crowd is going to change things. And listen, obviously, we want that done as soon as possible, but of course, safely as possible. I don't know if you saw, but the Buffalo Bills are going to have 6,700 people in their building next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the governor is very gung-ho in going to a football game. So they're doing a pilot, a test to see how capable this is going to be, how they could do it. Because I've also heard that the Rangers are looking to possibly have people in the garden for their coming season. So probably late February, early March, you're going to start seeing people inside the garden. The garden's going to be open. So crazy. things are going to move up. You know, obviously, we got another 2 or 3 months for this. But as we all realize, this goes by really fast.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2020 was a blur. Yeah. Bob actually has a really good question in the chat room. Since Dark Side of the Ring season 3 was approved, what would you like to see featured?
I think they have a list of what they're going to do, but there's so many of these stories that we haven't seen that they could do a great job at it. Obviously, we got the big ones, right? We got, did we get Morocco? We did get Morocco.
Did we? We got Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo. Why did I think Don Morocco? We got Dino Bravo. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, we got Benoit. Actually, that's a good question for the chat room. Who would you like to see?
I'll give you my 2 picks.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, Dirty ECW.
Dirty ECW is great.
And Dirty HBK.
I don't think they'll have the balls to do HBK.
You don't think they'll do like dirty, like drug... Like drug time HBK?
I don't think so. No, I don't think they'll do it. There's a Warrior episode coming. Cornette kind of spilled the beans on this.
Okay.
Oh, man, Ultimate Warrior would be interesting to see how they present that because WWE has gone back and re-edited their mind of how they're going to present this guy. Shin says an XPW one. I would like to see an XPW one. They did Nick Cage already. They did a Nick Cage one? When? They filmed it? I want to see Yoko. Oh, Pillman's another great one. Dave D with a great suggestion for Brian Pillman.
Pillman's a great one. How about like maybe like a CZW? Because CZW, I feel like, is is very forgot about in the lexicon of a lot of wrestling, but yeah. So many people came from CZW.
Yeah, I think listen, early Ring of Honor is a great one, but I mean, if you're talking, you know, like a piece that's like a sad story, like a dark side. I mean, they haven't done the steroid trial.
That might be too hard.
The steroid trial,
touch, right?
I mean, you know, I would love there to be one on the steroid trial for a number of reasons. One, what we know of the steroid trial has not really been factual. And the way that Vince won, I mean, that has to be studied in law school on the tactics that his lawyers use to attack the prosecution. Really fascinating. I you know, and this is, you got to also remember, WWE benefited from the fact that this is pre-OJ.
Yes.
Because if this was post-OJ trial, this would have been a tremendous circus. The way that the media covered these things was not what it is today.
No.
You know, you had some really high profile cases come up. The Menendez brothers, OJ. There was a tremendous amount of them post the steroid trial. So I think that they kind of benefited from being, you know, when it was, and that they weren't kind of, the media opinion did not point a finger at Vince as heavily as I think they would have if this was done later. I think there was some sort of decorum still with the way that you covered a trial. And what?
He would have been canceled.
Who would have been? He would have. Oh, yeah. Dude, listen, there's a lot of stuff in that. There's a lot of not lies, but just manipulation of the facts. And the fact that people, you know, there's that big story that, you know, the prosecution was really banking on nails and Hulk Hogan's testimony. That was not true. Actually, the nails one was hysterical. He turned around and he said something like, do you have any ill will towards this man? He goes, no. And then 2 minutes later, he goes, yeah, I would want to choke him.
Oh, boy.
I hate him. You know, so that kind of hurt him. And then obviously they thought that Hulk Hogan would turn on him. And that's been the story that they've told, and that's never been the actual thing.
You know what? You're right. I think you nailed it. The steroid trial would be an amazing dark side of the ring. Yeah. I also, like, it's funny that you mentioned the OJ trial, because do you recall, like, being in school? Like, they did this at my school. I was in grade school, and they would wheel in the TV, and the class would just watch the OJ trial, like, all day.
Oh, me too. I remember that. That was a tremendous thing for anybody in the 90s, if you were old enough to remember that trial. Holy moly, that was whack. That was whack. By the way, Bob Rowe, Vice has also ordered a season of Dark Side of the NFL and a season of Dark Side of the 90s. I expect the Teen Rich and Teen Andrew to be on the Dark Side of the 90s.
Yeah, you bet your ass, Bob.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of these. Very interesting. Also, somebody suggested the plane ride from hell as an option.
That's a good one.
I love that plane ride from hell stories. I absolutely love that. Also, another one was the Graham family on alcoholism and suicide. How, you know, Mike Graham, Eddie Graham. I mean, they pretty much, father and son, both committed suicide. Another sad story.
Crazy. Yeah. What about the poop in a bag?
Poop in a bag?
Yeah. I think Sable's
the ribs. I think that they could do one on, like, really mean ribs in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s and the 80s.
Absolutely.
FMW. Let's see what else. I think the ECW one's interesting. What else was that? I'm trying to think. I can't. You know what? I think any of these guys, you know, like just like on superstar Billy Graham, do one on him.
Yeah. Also, I think for us, like we don't watch that for the tragedy, you know, like,
yeah,
we're not into like the like that oddball, like trauma porn kind of thing. But like, I'll give you a good example. I think my favorite episode of this past season was Dr. Death.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was a really good one. Dave Schultz, Dr. Death.
Yes.
Yeah. Not Steve Williams.
Not Steve Williams.
Sonny. How about one on Sonny?
Sonny would be a good one.
Did they do one on China? I don't think so.
Dr. D. Dr. David D. Schultz. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions before we wrap it up? Louis Spicoli would be a nice one. You know what I would love to see? That the video from who shot that video in the 90s? It was like a fan cam video. Who was the rock, the guitar gimmick guy in the 90s?
Jeff Jarrett.
Man Mountain Rock?
Yes.
Man Mountain Rock. What was his name?
Ooh, hold on. I'm going to look this up.
What was Man Mountain Rock's other name?
Man Mountain Rock.
He was Max Payne. There you go. Yeah. So Max Payne filmed, and this is like one of those things that I've always wanted to get my hands on. I can't get. Max Payne filmed this like fan cam style of, I think it's like 90, Austin was there. So like 96, early 96, 95. And there's a clip of Louis Spicoli in there. And Louis Spicoli cannot find his hotel room. And he's like in his underwear, wow, like wandering around, meandering in the hallway, trying to find the room. I would love, like, where is the rest of that video? Where is that video? I know that a lot of people have seen that clip on YouTube, but that video does not. Where is it? Someone has it. I think there's one that allegedly, possibly, I may be misremembering, but there's like Hills and Kevin Nash. It's like a whole thing. I only saw a minute of the film. The guys were playing poker and using pain pills. Yeah, that's the clip.
Boy.
Yeah. Very. My God, what a different era, huh?
Also, the Road Warriors episode was one of my favorite ones.
Oh, yeah. The Road Warriors. I mean, bonkers. Bonkers.
You ready to get jacked next year? You ready
Let's
to
do
get,
it, man.
Real,
I'm in.
Like, just in. Like gnarly. Like people Listen, think man. people are going to think there's something wrong with us with Dude, how jacked we're going to get.
I just want to wear a Gold's Gym spaghetti strap tank top. That's all I want to do.
Oh, forget it. Yeah,
that's all I'm gonna do going forward. But all right, let's wrap it up, guys. little somber episode of Mad Men. It was kind of hard to go back into the silliness, but we tried. But you know, we'll see what's going. Last show of the year, obviously. Last official Mad Men. We're doing our year end show on Saturday. Join us for that. That should be a lot of fun. Also, subscribe to us. Every time you subscribe, it helps us out. Where more people find us, more eyeballs on us, and that's the goal. For the show next year, we're going to be starting off on the 7th on the Wrestling Observer, and a whole lot of other stuff coming your way. You can follow Rich on Twitter at BTC Rich. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian. Mad Men Podcast on Twitter, Mad Men Podcast everywhere, Facebook, Instagram. Hey, also, yeah, we're on Instagram and our Instagram is blowing up. Instagram, Mad Men Podcast. You can follow us there and we'll see you all next time. Take care.
Thanks, guys.